In parts, at least, it was a funny story. And yet to hear Rat Kiley tell it, you'd almost think it was intended as straight tragedy. He never smiled, not even at the crazy stuff. There was always a dark, far-off look in his eyes, a kind of sadness, as if he were troubled by something sliding beneath the story's surface. Whenever we laughed, I remember, he'd sigh and wait it out. But the one thing he couldn't tolerate was disbelief. He'd get edgy if someone questioned one of the details. "She wasn't dumb," he'd snap. "I never said that. Young, that's all I said, like you and me. A girl, that's the only difference. And I'll tell you something, it didn't amount to jack. I mean, when we first got here, all of us, we were real young and innocent, full of romantic bullshit, but we learned pretty damn quick. And so did Mary Ann." Rat would peer down at his hands, silent and thoughtful. After a moment, his voice would flatten out. "You don't believe it?" he'd say. "Fine with me, but you don't know human nature. You don't know Nam." Then he'd tell us to listen up. "A good sharp mind," Rat said. True, she could be silly sometimes, but she picked up on things fast. At the end of the second week, when four casualties came in, Mary Ann wasn't afraid to get her hands bloody. At times, in fact, she seemed fascinated by it. Not the gore so much, but the adrenaline buzz that went with the job, that quick, hot rush in your veins when the choppers settled down and you had to do things fast and right. No time for sorting through options, no thinking at all. You just stuck your hands in and started plugging up the holes. She was quiet and steady. She didn't back off from the ugly cases. Over the next day or two, as more casualties trickled in, she learned how to clip an artery and pump up a plastic splint and shoot in morphine. In times of action, her face took on a sudden new composure, almost serene, the fuzzy blue eyes narrowing into a tight, intelligent focus. Mark Fossey would grin at this. He was proud, yes, but also amazed. A different person, it seemed, and he wasn't sure what to make of it. Other things, too. The way she quickly fell into the habits of the bush. No cosmetics, no fingernail filing. She stopped wearing jewelry, cut her hair short, and wrapped it in a dark green bandana. Hygiene became a matter of small consequence. In her second week, Eddie Diamond taught her how to disassemble an M16, how the various parts worked, and from there it was a natural progression to learning how to use the weapon. For hours at a time, she plunked away at C-ration cans, a bit unsure of herself, but as it turned out, she had a real knack for it. There was a new confidence in her voice, a new authority in the way she carried herself. In many ways, she remained naive and immature, still a kid, but Cleveland Heights now seemed very far away. Once or twice, gently, Mark Fossey suggested that it might be time to think about heading home. But Mary Ann laughed and told him to forget it. "Everything I want," she said, "is right here." She stroked his arm and then kissed him.